A strange thing happened in 1888. That thing will happen again this week, but then it won't happen again for another 77,000 some years. Does anybody have any idea what I'm talking about? Not a comet. It's the convergence between Thanksgiving and Hanukkah, right. Now, we know what Thanksgiving is, right? That's where the Native Americans helped the pilgrims in the harsh of winter as they left England and settled here in pursuit of religious freedom and democracy. But they could barely survive, and they were desperate for help, and so Native American Squanto taught them how to fish and grow corn. He was also their guide and interpreter. Also, during the first winter, the leader Massasoit donated food to them because the supplies from England was short. So in 1621, the first harvest was celebrated as there were 90 Native Americans and 53 pilgrims together. And President Lincoln declared it to be a national holiday in 1863. But what is Hanukkah? Hanukkah is a Jewish holiday which commemorates the victory of a small band of Jews who revolted over King Antiochus IV. In 175 BC, King Antiochus of Syria and his forces invaded Judea and plundered the people. They took over the temple at Jerusalem and set up a Greek god in there and ordered the sacrifice of pigs on the altar. They replaced the Jewish religion with a Greek religion. So for 10 years, they had to endure this oppression. So they revolted, and they were able to liberate the temple, and so they built a new altar, and they built new vessels. And the legend is that they had a candelabra or menorah that is supposed to burn oil all night. The legend goes that for some reason they only had enough to burn for one day. And miraculously, it burned for 8 days straight. And it takes 8 days to fill the menorah with oil, which they had to produce. So Hanukkah celebrates a military victory and God's miracle of the long burning oil. So we ask, why don't these holidays converge more often? Well, they're on different calendars. The Hebrew calendar, which is very different from the calendar that we use, which is the Gregorian. The uniqueness of the convergence of these holidays, the Jewish and the American Christian, is that they both celebrate religious liberty and freedom. The pilgrims from their motherland, England, and the Jews from the Greeks. This week, then, is a celebration, a convergence of different forms of freedom and liberty altogether. Now, as Christians, we get our freedom ultimately from Christ Jesus. This Sunday is Christ the King Sunday. It's usually the Sunday right before Advent, and as we know, Advent is 4 Sundays before Christmas. Part of the language of Advent are those scripture passages which speak of Jesus' second coming. And so this morning, the one from Matthew is talking about no one knows the day or the hour when the Son of Man is coming, and that there will be a flood, and one will be taken away and the other left behind. We certainly witnessed that with the typhoon in the Philippines, or even the tornadoes in the Midwest, or other natural disasters where some people are left behind and some are taken away. It is shocking and it's startling because people are being pummeled by these natural disasters. And like the scriptures, like it says in the time of Noah, there is hardly any notice at all. There's not enough warning time to react. One church member was telling me that he has a friend that was working in the tornado radar center, wherever that was, and he said that the radar showed the tornado only a minute before it actually hit the place. So there was barely enough warning to tell the people to get away or get out. It is mind-blowing to us that some people's lives are taken away just like that, while others are spared and left. Some are freed from the destruction and death, while others are freed to live on the other side of earth in eternity. There is liberty from life-ending tragedy, while others, there is liberty from danger, from mortality. It seems like such a contradiction and so confusing. It's a paradox. In the Christian calendar, as we celebrate Christ the King, and also at the same time look at Advent, we have the tension there between we're expecting the peaceful and the beautiful baby Jesus, but also the King of Kings who comes in glory, who breaks into the world like the time of Noah, and where people are celebrating and feasting and getting married and enjoying life, but then calamity strikes. And as there's two men in the field, one is taken away and one is left behind. Or if there are two women who are grinding meal, one is left and the other is gone. So it says, be alert because you don't know when the Lord will be here and come and be ready. Jesus, in this passage then, is saying that as he enters into our world, it's a cosmic thing. Because Jesus' inbreaking into creation causes havoc, creates upheaval and unrest. When Jesus enters into this world, there's a shattering of the status quo, as if to turn over the power structures and shaking the foundations. Even in the verses before that, in verses 29 to 31, it says, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give out its light, the stars will fall from the sky, and the powers of heaven will be shaken. And the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn. So on the one hand, there's the gentleness and the kindness and the beauty and the soft of the baby, but then at the same time, it's frightening and terrifying because Jesus' second coming. Christ coming to earth and coming into our hearts is revolutionary and cosmic. And his presence strikes at the core of creation, almost deconstructing or dismantling the world as we know it, as we like to get comfortable in it. And we ask, why does the world have to experience all this shaking and shattering and rattling? What Jesus is calling us to is to bring us back to basics, back to the fundamentals, back to a simple life, and back to a bare bones faith. What does it all mean? It means freedom. It means liberty. Christ coming means freedom, freedom from a lot of things, freedom from sin, freedom from oppression, freedom from the trappings of the world that we find ourselves in every day. This past week, we were remembering President John F. Kennedy, who was assassinated. I was looking at his inaugural address, which was given in 1961. And it was on the topic of freedom, the celebration of freedom. At the time, Kennedy spoke to our country, which was divided, and he encouraged us to follow the words of the prophet Isaiah, which is to undo the heavy burdens and to let the oppressed to go free. He said, let every nation know, whether it wishes us well or ill, that we shall pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe, in order to assure the survival and the success of liberty. Then he said to the sisters republic south of the border, we offer this special pledge to convert our good words into good deeds in a new alliance for progress to assist free men and free governments in the casting off the chains of poverty. Amazing, he said that long ago, and it applies today. We haven't resolved it today. So finally, he says, the trumpet summons us again, not as a call to bear arms, although arms we need, not as a call to battle, although embattled we are, but a call to bear the burden of a long twilight struggle, year in and year out, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, a struggle against the common enemies of man, of tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself. Kennedy firmly believed that the hand of God is guiding this country in the pursuit and protection of freedom. As Christians, Christ Jesus frees us from the ills and the infirmities. Christ Jesus frees us from selfishness, or from being so self-absorbed. Christ Jesus frees us from being prejudiced. Christ Jesus frees us from discrimination and oppression. Christ Jesus frees us from the temptation to want to judge, to be mean-spirited, or to be hateful and hurtful. Christ Jesus frees us from all that. But at the same time, as Christ frees us from these maladies, Christ frees us to something, from one thing to something else. Freedom to think of a victim. Freedom to think of a neighbor. And I'm so proud of our church as we sent 20 boxes that we packed to the Philippines as we thought of our sisters and brothers across the ocean. Freedom to be accepting, freedom to be including, freedom to risk kindness and caring, freedom to seek justice, and freedom to seek what is right and do what is right and to love and to serve. Christ Jesus living among us means radically altering our existence, our consciousness. Christ Jesus in our lives is central, not superficial. Christ Jesus in our lives is essential and foundational and not optional. Christ Jesus in our lives is cosmic and not cosmetic. Amen.